Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be together with you today as we prepare for worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First off, we would like to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Find this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, if you could send it back to where it began this morning, we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you. A couple of things to draw your attention to that's there in your bulletin. We are having children's time today. That's after the first hymn, hymn number 126. Make note of that. Also, Krista is not feeling well today, and she asked me to make a few announcements. First off, College Parkers is this Thursday at 11:30. The Reverend Dwight Haynes is a chalk artist, and he's going to bring an inspiring message using his talent. The meal will be catered this time. It says in the bulletin that it's covered dish. That's incorrect. It'll be catered meal for $5. So just make note of that change. Also, on Friday night at the movies, this coming Friday, November 21st at 7 p.m., we'll be watching the film God's Not Dead in Smith Hall. And finally, December the 9th at 5:30, a special evening is planned for those caring for families or friends entitled Caring for the Caregiver. Debbie Pilsen and Martha McDowell will be here to lead a session from 6 until 8. If you can come for supper at 5:30, just let Krista know. Okay. In 2 weeks from today, we'll be collecting items for our exam pack run. If it's exam pack run time, that means the end of the semester is here. And the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we'll be putting those packages together. So we know that you're going to be making great desserts for Thanksgiving. So just make a few more. And package, we're doing about 50 of those packets individually wrapped that could be store-bought or homemade is really, really good. And it gets me from one school to the next. So if you want me safe on the road, we would love homemade goodies in 2 weeks. So thank you for that. Let's see. One adjustment to your order of worship. The last hymn, this listed hymn number 200, actually would be hymn 300. So make note of that. It is without him, but aren't we thankful we're not without him? Okay, good. See how what I did there? Okay. I'm about to get off the stage. Any other announcements? Are we good? Are we good? Hey, choir.
Hey.
Doesn't the choir look good? Wow, see, I tried. Let's see, I think that's all the announcements. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're so blessed by your presence today. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now that they would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our congregation. Thank you for being a part of worship today. It's hard to believe that it's almost Thanksgiving. It's hard to believe that Advent is coming. Are you prepared for what God is about to do? And it starts today. Let us prepare for what God is going to do in us and through us through worship.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the joy of your presence. Thank you that you have not left us or forsaken us. That for those who call on the name of Christ as Lord and Savior, you have sent your Holy Spirit to empower us, to convict us, to strengthen us. I thank you for your presence. We pray that you would be in this place. And from your throne of grace and mercy, speak truth to us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Praise him. Praise him.
I invite you to turn in your bulletin to our responsive reading this morning. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High.
To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
To the music of the 10-string lyre and melody of the harp.
For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands.
How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts.
You, O Lord, are exalted forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
invite the kids. Come on down. I think most of them are there. Some more. Come on. I'll wait for you. It's good to see everybody this morning. I have a question. What does it mean to wait? What do we do when we wait? Can anybody explain that? Or give me an example of when you have to wait for something. Wait in line. Waiting can be boring, yes. Waiting in line, like you're trying to get on the fastest roller coaster and it's got the longest line ever, that's waiting. What's some other times that we wait? What do you think, Rebecca? Think about it and let me know. All right, waiting. What else? Waiting. What about there's something coming up next month. I don't know what it could be. Christmas. Oh, we have to wait for Christmas morning. Why? What happens on Christmas morning?
The Santa Claus comes.
Yes, the Santa Claus comes. Now we have to wait to get our presents. Now here's one. Here's one. I don't know. This may happen at your house. This one may happen at your house. I don't know. But this is tough for me to wait on chocolate chip cookies while they're baking. Oh, is that like the worst wait ever? Because you're staring at the and waiting for, they're small and then they get big. That's tough to wait, isn't it? But is it worth the wait to wait for those chocolate chip cookies to get out of the oven and they're warm and you have them with ice cold milk? Is it worth waiting for those things? Yes. Well, Pastor Raymond this morning is going to talk about waiting. Sometimes that's all we can do to know what God wants for us is just to wait and to look and to see all the amazing things that God has around us. Waiting. It's really important to remember to be patient, whether you're in line, whether you're waiting for Christmas morning, whether you're waiting for chocolate chip cookies. Waiting teaches us something really, really important about God. So can you practice waiting this week? When mom and dad says, be patient, you have to wait. Then you have to be still and wait. Okay? Can you do that for me this week? Be patient and wait. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you give us patience. But we don't like it sometimes because we want everything right now. But you teach us that waiting is an important part of what you do and who you are. Help us to wait this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job. Back to your seats now. Ministry of God's Word comes from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading out the New International Version. It's page 417 in the Pew Bible there in front of you. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Will you pray with me? Father, we so want to teach our children, the next generation, the ones who are growing up in your favor. We want them to teach, to know how to put their trust in you. Father, help us as parents, as grandparents, as prayer partners, as concerned adults for the children that are growing around us. May we not hide your teaching from them, but may with our very lives we show them who you are. May our words on Sunday and every day of the week reflect our faith in you. Our world needs adults who stand on the Word of God, who proudly proclaim the truth of the cross. This is what our young people need to see. This is what you need to see from us. May we honor you in all that we do, in all that we say, in every attitude, every action. May we reflect your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your faithfulness. This is what our world needs to see. When we hear of senseless death, of pain and suffering, which makes no sense to the human mind, we know that you are a God who transcends time and space because you care about your children, and that you are with us in the tragedy. You are with us in the valley of the shadow of death. We will not fear evil, for you are with us. And when you are with us and our children see us walking with you, our world becomes more as you meant it to be. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, this time in this service when we take a portion of what you've so generously given to us and return it back to you, we want to take this time to give thanks back to you for all the amazing blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We're so thankful for the joy, hope, love, your open arms whenever we fail you, Lord, that will always be there for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
For the next couple of Sundays, including today, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and as Jeff has already said, we're going to talk a little bit about waiting and preparedness, and we are reminded with all the Christmas music that's now playing in the stores. People are making preparation for any number of things. But let me encourage you, and this is off this subject anyway, but it's definitely on the subject. Don't miss Thanksgiving. Not only the holiday, but the sentiment, the emotion, the act of Thanksgiving. Don't miss it. In this season where everything seems to be rushing toward December 30 or 25th, whatever day it is. It's the same year. It's the same day every year, isn't it? Okay. It's the same day every year. It's the 25th. But in the rush to December 25th, don't miss out on Thanksgiving. Be thankful. People that are truly thankful. The sweet child and the coming of Santa Claus. The Santa Claus. It's an exciting time of year. But it's a time of year where we need to be thankful people. We need to show others through our actions, our heart, the spoken words, the kind words that we speak, the compassion that we extend, what it truly means to be thankful people. So don't, that was for free just because you showed up today. Don't miss that. Matthew chapter 25, we'll be reading the first 13 verses today. It says, "At that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom. Come and meet him. Come out and meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.' So the foolish virgins didn't bring enough oil. Poor things. One poorly prepared event, and they're on the outside looking in with the door locked. Is that the way we interpret this passage? One snafu and the door is shut and locked. Is that the message here? Well, when I think of the prodigal son, when I look at the other message that Jesus offered in all through the New Testament, his teachings on forgiveness, all of that, somehow one snafu when you're out really doesn't do it for me. So what is the proper interpretation? I read a lot of people this week, and there are about as many opinions on this as there are books written. Charles Somerville and his comments was particularly helpful. The Interpreter's Bible is always helpful. And I think as I came down on it, as I read it over and over again, I think where I am is instead of focusing all our attention on the foolish virgins, maybe we should begin by focusing on the wise ones. See what the lesson there is. They were wise, according to Scripture. Why is that? Why were they wise? They were prepared. They were prepared. They had made proper preparation. But prepared for what? What was all that all about? I think the answer is that they were prepared to wait for the bridegroom. They were prepared to wait for him. And we say, well, I'm ready. I'm waiting for Jesus. Well, sometimes the problem comes in our actual practice of waiting. I'm always fascinated when someone talks about the end of time and how somebody set a date for the end of time, and you just scratch your head. And you know what typically is the response to that? Well, first of all, you have the media that comes out, and they make fun of it immediately. then you have different churches that kind of line up one side or the other on the issue. And then you kind of have this battle back and forth for the hearts and minds of people between the announcement and when the day actually comes and nothing happens. Okay? Throughout history, there have been different responses to the announcement of when Christ will return. You have people that run out and they sell everything and they jump on a bus and they go wait on top of a mountaintop. The interesting thing about all that is, why do they sell their stuff? Think about it. I mean, if they really believe that Jesus is coming back, why do they sell it? Why don't they just get in the bus and go to the mountain? They can't take it with them. They can't take the money with them. Maybe that's plan B, just in case. Just in case we're wrong, maybe I can buy it all back, you know? So is that the proper response to waiting? No. Do we stay tense? Do we stay just alert and tense and all that, kind of like driving I-40 on rush hour? Is that the proper approach to waiting? What does Christian waiting look like? For the wise virgins, it was like a wedding. It was like waiting for a joyous occasion. That whole bridegroom of Christ, the whole bride of Christ comes to mind when you kind of read this, you know, the bride and Christ returning and a joyous occasion. And as we read that their celebration there was followed by a nap. I like naps. Naps are our friends. I enjoy naps. They are not uptight situations. They are not stressful. Matter of fact, they have all these statistics about how a good nap in the middle of the day relieves a great deal of stress. But these young ladies, they were not stressing. Why is that? Because they were prepared. They had made proper preparation for their situation. As I read through this, I thought about fishing. I thought about a lot of different activities. But my mind also went to the mountain in McGrady that Selma owns. And we take our teenage boys up there to play paintball. That is life-changing for many of them. And we go up there because Jeff and I invite them to go. And they have kind of a split decision there. We enjoy two things up there. Number one, we enjoy the games that we play. We enjoy the paintball. But perhaps more than that, we enjoy the time sitting around the campfire telling lies about the last game. Right? Kind of like hunters or fishermen or whatever. You know, you sit there around the campfire. They're making s'mores. They're eating. They're teasing one another. Good-hearted, good companionship, good community around the fire. It's a great time. But you know, it wouldn't be a very good time if I went alone. Because if you go alone, obviously you have nobody to play the game with. And it's not much fun running around eliminating an imaginary team and then shouting, "Game over, I won." There's just something missing there. You see, celebrating solo just doesn't work very well. As a matter of fact, if you look through the New Testament, the kingdom celebrations described by Jesus are always in community. They are. I looked for an exception. I couldn't find one. If you can find one this week, let me know. But without exception that I could find, every time there were kingdom celebrations described by Jesus, it was in the context of community and celebration with others. And when we go up to play paintball, the kids know that some days, you know, they may not hit anyone, but they keep on playing because they're having a good time. They're looking for the other team. They're trying to reach the game objective, whatever the scenario may be. Sometimes they have to patiently wait for the game to kind of unfold in order to be successful. Some of them don't wait very patiently, and so they're out of the game quite quickly. And in a way, and I know it's a stretch, it's like faith. The substance of things not seen requiring patient waiting. We persevere. We persevere in the games we play. We personally, when we're playing paintball, we don't give up until the sun goes down because, like the wise virgins, we need to sleep every now and then. Or until Steve Overby blows the air horn, which, granted, is not trumpets of Gabriel, but it'll have to do for our purposes today. And at that point, we know that the game is over. We have the right equipment, just as in faith, God equips us. Life is not a game, but it certainly can be enjoyable. It certainly can be enjoyable. And it's more enjoyable when we are prepared. We are prepared. We're prepared to wait many times. During a lull, the activity of playing on the mountain, sometimes it's good just to kind of lay on your back and see the snowflakes falling quite often when we're up there. To hear the rustling of the leaves. To hear strange animals above you creeping through the forest. You don't know what they are, but you suspect maybe they're wild turkeys. You hope they're wild turkeys. All of those things, sometimes we kind of need to stop and rest and relax. That's okay. But you're still ready. You're still prepared for the activities that will come. And that's the way that I see these wise virgins at the wedding. They're full of the enjoyment of life, but they're ready for the big moments. They're ready because they're prepared. The big moment when Jesus comes to us in the present or in the future is not passive, but it calls for active duty. And at times it's costly. There's a book entitled Lest Innocent Blood Be Shed. It was written by Philip Halley, and it tells the story of Pastor Trocmé, who, French, preached to his members in the little village of Le Chambon in the French Alps during World War II. He had a repeated message for them. Part of that message was, quote, "One day Jesus will come into your life and ask you to do something just for him. One day Jesus will come into your life and ask you to do something just for him." That was a part of his message to his congregation. So when the Nazis came looking for Jews, the villagers were prepared. They were prepared emotionally. They were prepared physically. They were prepared logistically. They had been waiting in response to their pastor's message. And at the risk of their own lives, they successfully hid every single one of their Jewish neighbors. A remarkable story. You see, preparation means that we're not just hearers of the word. We're not just hearers of God's word, but we are also doers. Also doers. We're not just waiting, but we're waiting to respond. We are the message of hope. We are the message. We are the message of love, hope, action. Love and action. Of course, waiting for the Lord may not always be like a wedding or even doing something extraordinary. You know, sometimes there's rough times. Sometimes there's a moment of discouragement. That can happen in your personal life. That can happen in your work. That can even happen at church. But as a Christian community, it's critical remembering that we do not go it alone. Again, in community, rejoice with those who celebrate. Weep with those who mourn. In community, we offer our prayers of needs and concerns, and we praise God, giving thanks for all that's good. Because in life or in death, we are still God's children together in community. Sometimes it takes tears to restore our vision and perhaps realize that the Lord is waiting there for us even as we are waiting here for Him. You ever thought about that consciously? Tuesday at Roy Johnson's memorial service, as we went to the graveside, as we went to the mausoleum there, as Charles was reading a passage which I was quite familiar with, but as he was reading that passage and making comments about it, I had this very keen awareness. I mean, and we know this, But sometimes it's more stark, it's more keen, we're more keenly aware of it. I had this keen awareness that there were people that had been waiting on Roy. They were excited that he was coming to them. Just as we wanted to hold on to him here, there were people that wanted him to come there. And I thought, you know, the saints, I hope, are waiting for me and excited about me coming. You know, even as I wait for Jesus to come back, he's prepared for me to come there. That's an awesome reality for us as believers. Those who have gone before us and our Savior Jesus Christ are excited about us coming there, even as we wait for him here. And as with the wise virgins, we are prepared to wait in hope and in service, whether Jesus comes to us first or we go to him first. And I know, I just know from everything I know of Scripture, that it is a hope that we will never be disappointed in. The hope of the risen Savior receiving us to himself or coming here first. Whichever one happens, I'm good with that. Behold the wise ones. What do they look like? The wise ones, the ones who work while we wait, who serve together while we anticipate the return of the one that we serve. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the hope that you've given to us, the Savior of the world. And Father, whether he comes here for us first or we join you there, we're okay with. We're okay because we want to be people who are prepared. Father, we pray that as we wait and as we make preparation, part of that preparation would be to be working for you, to be serving one another, to be serving our community, making a difference in the name of our Savior. Father, we pray for strength today in this coming week to be used by you in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. If you're here and you don't know, don't have a personal relationship with Christ, I'd love to talk with you about that. We're going to sing in just a moment, and I'd certainly be glad to talk with you here in front and pray with you. Or you can call me this week. I'd be glad to talk with you about it. Just let me know where I need to meet you, and we'll be glad to talk about it. If you're here and you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I'm really not plugged in, I'm not dialed in, I'm kind of self-absorbed, I'm really not working for the kingdom, today is your day to kind of right the ship, as they say, to kind of get things back on track. You could certainly do that where you are. If you'd like to come, the altar will be open. You can pray here, or I'll be glad to talk with you as well. And if you're here and you'd like to be a member of College Park, some wonderful people. I highly recommend it. Many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
With all him,
body of Christ, living in community, serving in community together, worshiping in community, fellowshipping in community. So after the benediction and the response, I invite you, fellowship in community. Greet one another. If there's someone that you don't recognize, introduce yourself. Extend a warm greeting and encouragement to one another as we go. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. The word that you have for us, the word of the excitement, the anticipation, the preparation to meet you face to face. Father, help us to be excited about that, to look forward to that day, and in the meantime, to be about your work. Gracious Father, we love you. We pray that our actions would show it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.